Friends, as I indicated, we start a new sermon series today. And I was nudged in the direction of this theme because we as a congregation generally celebrate our anniversary in the month of November. And so we will this year also. But it's the theme of the church. And the overall title to the series is What the Church Needs Now. And there are four topics in the series: a visible presence, a devoted people, spiritual power, and a vital legacy. Now, these topics are all rather interrelated together, but we'll try to separate them out a bit to look at these differing facets of what the church needs now. And when I picked the title, What the Church Needs Now, for the series, it's not as though these are unique, distinctive things for this time and place. These are aspects of the life and vitality of the church which are and have been needed in every generation of God's people. But maybe in a way they do have an immediate importance, because we are certainly conscious that in practical terms, these are not days in which the church is thriving. Not in this part of the globe, anyway. It's a time when the presence and life of the church is perhaps less visible in the world around us than it has been in times past, or at least in times that we may recall from the limited perspective of our lifetimes. And so it is good for us to think about what the church needs to be to reflect Jesus Christ in the world. Now, we understand that the responsibility is not laid upon our shoulders concerning the outcome of the life and ministry of the church. However, what is laid upon our shoulders is the responsibility for fulfilling our calling in Christ and doing it with faithfulness. And then the matter of the increase is left in the Lord's hands. Now, these topics of visible presence, a devoted people, spiritual power, and a vital legacy invite the question, what can we do? Or what can I do to make these things real and perhaps more vivid? And so the intention is that in the sermon portion of today, I'm going to focus on the personal. And in the something extra section of this morning's program, I'll lead us in reflecting a little on our collective activity together. But how do we make our faith commitment a more natural and visible part of who we are? How do we take our faith with us and let it shine through as we live our lives day by day? Well, each of our lives are different, and each of our daily routines takes us in to different places and in different contexts. But the challenge for us each is to consider how we can and should reflect the faith in the ordinary details of our lives. And so I want to talk about things that can emerge in the living of our lives that attest to what it is we believe and profess together. And then I invite you to think about how those things are reflected in the life you're living for the glory of God. One of the things that is to be surely a characteristic of the lives of the people of God is thanksgiving. You know that we live our lives conscious of our gratitude to God. And as I say, our gratitude to God, not just because we are glad to be blessed, but that we recognize that the blessing we enjoy has come from the hand of the Lord. And that somehow, naturally, when we talk about our thankfulness for things that occur in our lives, we attach the credit to God. And this is not that we go out and deliver a little sermon every time that we talk about being thankful, but that we honestly reflect our recognition that our gratitude is maybe, yes, expressed to other people, but also that credit is given to the name of the Lord. And that that might become something that just so naturally emerges in our lives that it's not something we really think about, how do I work this in? But that in the things we say and the things we do, there is an accrediting of the reason for our thanksgiving to the grace and presence of God. In our choices in life, there is an opportunity for us to reflect what we profess. Because each day, each one of us makes a whole series of choices about various options that present themselves. Many of them, in fact, are so much a part of the routine of life that we hardly think of them as choices, but they are. And of course, there are then those occasions when we're forced to really sit back, sit down, and think about what we ought to do in a given situation. And here, as we make such choices in our lives, and as we live them out, we reflect what's important to us, what we value, what we treasure, what we want to be the dominant things about our lives. And here too is a point at which our faith commitment becomes visible. When we gather with friends and family, and sometimes even in just relatively casual conversations with people, we end up talking about our hopes and our dreams for life. You know, what do we want life to be? And here too is a point in our living where our things of faith have a place and have a need to be expressed and owned and acknowledged. So that when we talk about what we hope for our lives, Somehow, our faith commitment is not omitted or bypassed. On what basis do we have hope? There surely is a point at which we can express something of who we are as God's people. What about stewardship? You know, when we talk about the things we'd like to have, do we talk about them only in terms of what we can afford? Or do we talk about them in terms of our priorities in stewardship? Because that too, you see, reflects in a perhaps quiet and maybe subtle way, but reflects what's at the root of who we are and what we see life as being all about. That we can talk easily and comfortably in our exchanges with people around us about the faith that we value. We don't need to do this in a judgmental way. It's just simply that we affirm what it is that gives us the strength to go on living day by day. And that in doing so, we give credit to our Lord. And I've addressed this in terms of our conversation, our speech, but of course, this reflects all of life, because our activities say a great deal about us, even when no words are spoken. Now, there are some dangers associated with this. I mean, we must live our faith visibly in a compassionate way, so that we're not appearing to go out and tell everyone else in the world how to live and that they should look just like us. But that we acknowledge that we're aspiring to live our life as a life of faith, and that we can readily acknowledge our own challenges and complexities in doing so. And of course, the other danger is that sometimes we just fail. You know? Sometimes we just don't live up to what we profess. And sometimes that happens kind of inadvertently, just in terms of human failure, and sometimes it happens rather explicitly because we have conspicuously failed. You know, you've all been in the situation of having had a conversation with someone and realizing afterwards that you didn't express yourself very well. And that perhaps you may have left them with confusions or impressions that you didn't intend to leave with them. And you can't think of a way to go back to that conversation and correct it. That's just part of our human failure. But we also all know, and we also have along the way in life noted occasions when people who were conspicuously associated with the Christian faith have failed very badly. And of course, when we identify ourselves with the faith, then we run the risk that such failures not only reflect upon ourselves, but reflect upon the faith that we profess and perhaps have done so so very publicly. We want in all of our living of the faith and our endeavor to make our faith visible to avoid arrogance. Because, you know, grace is all about what we've received, not about what we've done. I mean, when we celebrate God's grace in Jesus Christ, we're not celebrating what we've accomplished. We're celebrating what God has done in grace and in the sending of His Son. And we're rejoicing that we have this wonderful privilege of being part of that faith. And so it's not a matter of arrogance, because arrogance and grace are incompatible with each other. Because when we really talk about grace, we end up talking about gratitude to God, not about look at me. Now, you see, in those words from Matthew chapter 5 about God's people, as Jesus put it, being a beacon in the world, a light. Use the example, he throws in two or three things here, you know. The example of the city that's built on a hill. You can see it for miles. He talks about the fact that if you light a lamp, you don't immediately put a basket over it. You lit it for the purpose of illuminating the space around it. And so you put it up on the lampstand where it has the most effective position to share light in the house. And Jesus then says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Our activities, making faith visible, are not about look at me. Our activities in making our faith visible in the lives that we live are about desiring to give glory to our Father in heaven. And it was in that same interest that Paul, in writing to the Christians in Colossae, spoke to them about the character of the life that they were called to live. Because it was obvious that how they lived the faith would be a very powerful demonstration of what they really intended life to be about. And so, Paul says, as God's chosen ones, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together, that God's people may be a visible presence in the world, and that our intentions are to honor the Lord. Even in this brief section in Colossians 3, Paul concludes, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. For the visible presence of the church in the world is not for the purpose of making people speak well of the church necessarily, or certainly not that people might speak well of us personally, but that in all of our endeavors, we may do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so this is our challenge, friends, that we aspire to live our faith more visibly. We are, we're not secret agents of God in the world. We are public proclaimers of faith. And the challenge is there for each of us to determine how, in the circumstances of our particular situation and our particular life, how we can do that and how we can make it a more natural and more comfortable aspect of how we live our lives day by day. This, you see, is not something intended to be added on afterwards. It's intended that this be worked right into the fiber of who we are, that we reflect thanksgiving to God and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ as in each day we identify ourselves with God's grace. So I leave that with you to think about how we as individuals may contribute to the whole big picture of making our faith more visible in the world. I leave it with you. Remember God's grace and praise his name. Thanks be to God.